What was your sense of what issues are most important to Sitkins? Were you able to talk about that?
To some extent, Sitkins are concerned about a lot of the same issues that the state is concerned with, education and energy in particular. There's some area-specific ones having to do with halibut quotas and land allocation for Sea Alaska. But the energy and the education issues were dominant.
And as far as fishing issues in town, what sort of stuff?
People in Sitka know about the issue better than I do, but it's about halibut allocation between the charter fleet and the commercial fleet. And what I've said all along is the responsibility of the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council and the Board of Fish is to make sure that we do good science so we can make good policy, which means that there has to be adequate stock protection, make sure that the population of fish is healthy, make sure we do things to reduce the amount of bycatch, and do not, under any circumstances, let the state legislature or Congress make any of the allocation decisions.
Yeah, I noticed in your materials that you said the market should regulate the fishing industry. How exactly do you see it doing that?
Well, I think that's sort of an oversimplification of what I said, is you need to make sure that the fish stocks are managed. The fish are held in common trust for all Alaskans and for all Americans, and we need to make sure that we don't overfish. We can't have the tragedy that commons occur. But in the course of protecting the stocks, you're going to have to make sure that there's allocation decisions made between different user groups. And that has to be done in a way that's fair and that respects the interests of all the user groups. But it's not a process that should wind up in the lawmaking bodies, because fish really have no part in the sausage-making scene.
Well, I know a lot of people are thinking about gas prices right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you've talked a lot about local energy and sort of just the irony of energy being so expensive in Alaska, even though we've got such an abundance of it here. So how do you see shifting that?
There's a lot of things we can do to address the cost of energy and how we can bring the cost down. There's various time horizons we have to look at. Over the long term, I'd like to see us develop more oil and more gas. But what we can do in the short and the intermediate terms are start to make sure that there are structural changes to the cost of energy. Make sure, for example, that bulk fuel purchases are coordinated. Make sure that some of the state surplus goes to pay down the cost of infrastructure so that consumers no longer have to pay the debt load on, say, the generator in their community or the hydro project in their community. We need to do things like develop the renewable resources that are available. 80 villages in Alaska can take wind, and we can pay for all of them in a retail fashion for $150 million. Every single volcano and hot spring that's out there, that's geothermal energy. We've got 90% of the country's tidal energy in this state, and we ought to be developing it to benefit our people. 160 communities would benefit from biomass, whether it's fish waste being converted to some form of fuel, whether it's methane gas coming off of dumps, whether it's wood chips. We are abundant in terms of our natural resources. So we should be converting those natural resources in a way that helps Alaskans become energy independent and energy self-sufficient. If we do that, then it offers full spectrum opportunity, lower cost utility bills, jobs for Alaskans, the right response on climate change, and it helps show the rest of the country the way to become independent from its dependence on foreign oil. And that's a big positive step for us in terms of our foreign policy.
What about, we've got a serious infrastructure in place for oil specifically. And when you think about some of these alternative energy options, how long do you think it's going to take to be able to incorporate some of the things like geothermal?
Some of these things can be done fairly rapidly. The geothermal projects and the wind projects can integrate into the current electrical systems. And we have the ability to do that in fairly short order, and we ought to do that. So it's not just about converting from fuel oil, but it's also about using the electrical system in a more efficient fashion. Conservation also has to be part of this mix. But we just have to do something bold. Because if we keep sitting around waiting for other people to solve our problems or waiting for the price to plunge, we're going to be caught on the wrong side. If we take the initiative now, if we use our technology, if we use the sense that we can solve things, the can-do spirit that everyone's supposed to be proud of, then we can solve these problems. We can get control of our own destiny, and we aren't going to be whipsawed by these global oil prices and energy costs.
Well, what do you think is going to happen if we do just wait?
you're going to see what we have seen, which is the continued slow strangulation of Alaskan communities. Villages are going to have a harder and harder time making a go of it. It's going to be more and more difficult for families to pay their utility bills. And we are already seeing in the bigger communities in Alaska what are known as energy refugees. And I want to make sure that we can maintain the strength and the vitality of coastal communities, of the villages, because that's a very important part of Alaska's identity, and it's critical to make sure that we continue the kind of lifestyle that we value. It's very important, particularly in the fishing communities, if we want to make sure that fishing is a way of life that can be passed from one generation to the next. There are a lot of reasons why we need to aggressively address the energy costs, because when we have the ability to solve our problems, we ought to take advantage of that ability.
Is that one of the issues that caused you to decide to run? Or is there something else that was that kind of moment where you decided that Don Young just isn't doing it anymore and I could do a better job?
You know, you've got to appreciate the achievements that Don Young has made in the 35 years he's served. I decided to run because I think I can be a better representative for Alaska in the 21st century. I think I can do more to help this state achieve its potential. And that's why I wanted to run. I didn't want to wake up next year or 20 years from now and say, I should have done this. I regret not having done it. Life is too short for that.
Is it stressful right now? You're kind of in the thick of it with primaries and everything.
There are aspects of this that are difficult, but I love getting out and meeting people. It's wonderful to travel around the state, meet new friends, talk to old friends. There's an adventure waiting pretty much every day. And so I'm having a good time doing this. And it's really important to me that I've had the opportunity to talk about the issues that I think are important and help shape the debate on those issues. It's already, just by how I'm campaigning, I'm driving the issues, and I'm also changing the way we conduct politics in this state.
How so? Talk a little more about that.
I've made a point of how I run to be about the things that I'm for, not just who I'm running against. Too much of politics has been written in the negative. Too much has been about partisan politics and about who's going to win the election. We cannot, as candidates or even as people, allow ourselves to be defined simply by the things we're against, because then those things define us. We have to talk about what we're for, and that gives us the ability to have control over who we are.
The sort of motto for your campaign is good ideas and goodwill. Where did that come from?
Well, we're really working on new energy and new direction. But good ideas and goodwill, that's one of the phrases I've used along the way. But this is really about making sure that Alaska takes a new direction and we start to use some new energy, not just in terms of the energy that I would bring to Washington, D.C., but in terms of the energy that we start to use to fuel the state and to power our future.
I'm curious about what you feel the significance is of there just being one spot, essentially, that you would be the one person to head to D.C. representing Alaska.
It's a tremendous honor to even be considered to be Alaska's one voice in Congress, one of 435, and it's a tremendous responsibility. And during the time of public service that I've had, the 10 years I spent in the state legislature, 8 as the Democratic leader, I know how important the public trust is, and I will always work as hard as I possibly can to make sure that Alaskans are proud of the job I do for them.
Well, that's all I've got. Thanks so much. This has been Ethan Berkowitz with us today. Thanks so much for coming in.
It's been a pleasure. Look forward to coming back.